You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Looking to you, thank you that we can do so. Thank you that you're here to make it all work. So help us in every way. We're going to thank you. Give us an understanding heart that we might understand the better and honor you the more. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we in the upper room, our Lord is closing that particular occasion in his prayer, chapter 17. And in his prayer, he's going to encourage their heart because they're listening. He said all of the conversation between the Father and the perfect humanity and the God-man, Christ Jesus, is very hearable and understandable to them. So therefore, they have the benefit of listening in on that which God is about to do, his hour, he's going to be crucified. Now, having said that little bit, and God, what are you after? God is glorious as to his person. He's wonderfully glorious. And in the light of history, we shared all those things. The tabernacle was glorious. It says so, Exodus chapter 40. It was full of glory. And God was there, the fire by day and the cloud by night. God was there. God's wonderful, wonderful presence in that holy place. Think of Sunday school and the high priest in the ark on the mercy seat. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God is in the tabernacle. And Solomon builds the temple as prescribed by God. And the initial introduction into that temple is marked by God's wonderful person. And the glory of God, 1 Kings 8, fills that temple. It doesn't stay there very long, comparatively, but it is there. And God, in his grace, does what he does in the days of Solomon. Now, and going back into history, here was just a little old bush. And Moses discovered God's wonderful person and presence in just a little old bush. Exodus chapter 3. God was there. As long as God was there, the glory was there. Now, God, you created us for a wonderful, wonderful purpose, to know and to honor him, to enjoy him, God. And that's what we're doing. That's the glory of God. God is glorious. And he's seeking to display, to show forth his glory. Now, having done so, here we are in his presence. We're earthbound. That is, we have the senses, sight and hearing and taste and all of that. All of that is earthly. We are able to tap in God's wonderful kindness all the wonderful rules and laws and science that he made. So we have able to go, and the wires, a piece of copper wire, or light transmission, and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of words and thoughts and everything going on all over the place. And if you have the instrument, you could use the phone and hear the conversation that's in the room right now. And if you had the computer and do all those things, you can tap into that by turning on the frequency, by turning the right program, and pushing the right buttons, and you get all the stuff that's existent. But we don't see it. We don't smell it. We don't hear it. Usually, it's just there, always there, always there. God is always there. Demons, the good guys and the bad guys, angels, are there. But we don't have the sensitivity, we don't have the receptivity to be able to see, to hear, to communicate. That's why Christ died on the cross, to restore to the human heart the frequency, like we shared 100 years ago. AM, you have AM radio, and AM radio, you can turn the dial back and forth 1,000 times, but you can't get FM. You have to have FM. And if you've got FM, you can go from AM to FM and turn on FM and get FM frequencies. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God gives you the way to communicate to God in the person of Jesus Christ in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That's what we're to do. He makes it possible, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive Him as your Savior, to know and understand that relationship. Now, just for the sake of illustration, good or bad, here we are, and here you are, if it's all right. And I'll put you up here. Here you are. Now you're in the presence of all that sound and all everything going on. True? You're objectively in the middle. You're looking objectively, subjectively, and objectively. You're looking. You're living in the world, in all of its realities, and you're living in the presence of God in a wonderful way. Now, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing, but more than not, we are not living up here in open space. We're living, I'm going to put that underneath again, we're living down here. We're in the same everything. God, sound, rules, wonderful things are there, but we're coming from down under here. We have closed ourselves in our world of unbelief, and we've locked ourselves in down here. And that's how most of us live. Most people live like that. They live like that, down underneath. That's how they can handle life. They don't have to think of all the realities. The realities are rather awesome and wonderful and yet awesome. And scary sometime. Wow. But we don't want to have to do that all the time. So therefore, we stay down below. We're still in the room. I'm still here. Hello. Hello. I'm still here. He's down here. But he isn't up here. He don't want to be up here. No. No, I live my life down here. And I go to work. I go to school. I have my family. I watch Portia Faces Life or something, and I do all of those things. That's an old something. Anyway, you don't care. I say that because I don't know anything else. Anyway, now, so in the process, we aren't up here, we're down here, and we pick and choose, and we relate to everything to the degree we need to and want to. Are we going to enjoy God? Up to a point, we do. But we can't enjoy the realities of God and the world we live in unless we're up here. We have to be up here. You can't be asleep and do it. You've got to be up here to do. Now, having said that, keep in mind, you are not God, and another thing that may help you. God made all of the animals, birds, fishes, and the beasts of the field. God made them. They all have wonderful, wonderful instinct and ability. They don't have to go to school to learn anything. The spider, as we share, doesn't have to learn how to do a web. They know it instinctively. The animals know what to do, where to eat, get food, where to find water. They know everything. They know. It's built into them. That's all. They're automatic. The bird's the bird. You don't have to tell the bird to be birdie. The bird is. That's what he's going to do. He's going to be a bird. Tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. Us humans, though, are not. We're made different. Why? Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. God made us in his image and likeness. to what? To rule the world, to be his representative, a visible world people having the oversight, the management, the stewardship of all of creation, as it were. That was their assignment, to have that. And they don't have instinct. All the dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and everything, they all got it, but not us. No, because we aren't like them. God made us to be able to enjoy his wonderful world. God himself, being God, is going to show himself as God and control and show it to the angels, good and bad, etc. He's going to do that, Genesis 1:28. But sin came along and took it away. So here we are, us humans, and we need to be up here, up where we were in the pulpit, not down underneath, hidden. We hide down in there. That's how we live our lives. And if you think about it objectively, you watch how you live your life like that. You live down underneath. And you see things you want to see, you hear things you want to hear, and reject things you don't like. Don't want to talk about it, don't want to think about it, and you can do it. Now, having said that little bit, to remind us of God's wonderful person. Now, God made us image and likeness, us humans, to house God, as we said many times. We don't have instinct. Animals do, fishes, birds. We have God. And humans without God are not the normal humans they're supposed to be. They're deficient. They're missing. They're missing life. And they're missing what's life? God. And what do you have in John 17, verse 3? 17:3. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know God. That's what it is. Us humans, what is life? Life, the blood flowing through your body, that's life. Physical life, breathing, God, a relationship to God, that's life. To know God. Now, having said that, that's the whole point. John 14:6, you don't have to turn there, you're right there almost. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The whole point is get to God. 1 Peter. Hold the finger here, it's all right. 1 Peter, reminding us again. And in 1 Peter and in chapter 3, and picking up, if I may, in verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Why did he go to the cross? To pay for the penalty for our sin. The just for the unjust. Purpose that, what's the purpose? That he might bring us to where? God. What's the whole purpose? To get us back connected properly to God. To bring us back to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit of God. So God's wonderful, wonderful wing is to get us back into that unique relationship to God. That's what the whole purpose is. So therefore, his wonderful design is to know him. That's right. Simple. To know a person. It isn't to know about him. It isn't to know whatever. It's to know a person. To God. The person who is glorious. Now, having said that, back over to John 17. And you would recall in John 17 that God, in his wonderful grace, has given us an opportunity, a privilege to know him in a most, most wonderful way, and to have an enjoyment of him. So, having said that, here's the disciples in the upper room. Remember, we did this as we did the book, chapter 16, etc. And the disciples are all at the end, remember. Their whole world is coming to an end. Christ is going to be crucified. They're going to end up in prison or jail or something else. and they're going to lose. So therefore, it's all over for them. But, and the Lord says, you're going to go through awesome things, chapter 16, 32, et cetera, et cetera. They're all going to be scattered. Verse 33, they're going to have, there's a wonderful recipe, verse 33, to be an overcomer, to be wonderfully, wonderfully successful in a world of darkness, enjoying light. In a world of death, enjoying life. In a world of wrongness, enjoying right. That's what you can have, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful existence in such a world. So so we don't need to be down below, we need to be up above. That's what God wants. God wants us smack dab in the middle of this thing. So we're wide awake, we aren't stupid about it, we know it, we understand it, and we can live in it. That's what God wants. Not down in here, that's where we live. We live in a little cubbyhole in our world. That isn't what God wants. God wants to show himself in a most wonderful way to a world of darkness, to a world of death, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so this relationship we're to have to God is to know and enjoy life in a most wonderful way. And therefore, he tells them, as we said, chapter 17, the end of it, I'll read it, I guess, the whole verse. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Down to verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me, thou me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before I became... the God-man, Jesus, born in Bethlehem of Judea, I want to restore my wonderful position as God the Son. I want to have all of that benefit back, to show it. How are you going to show it? In the believing heart of believers. Believers are going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God is going to demonstrate what? His glorious person. It's glorious. God is glorious. The painter that paints Da Vinci or whatever, wet paints, and the brush, and the painting, and all of that's wonderful. But the hand, the head, the heart of the painter, not the paintbrush, and not what's on the wall. It's the painter. To know the painter who paints like this, who thinks like this, who understands like this. God understands being God. And he wants you to understand, not his creation, the Creator. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Enjoying the Creator, the painter as it were, and all the benefits that his. So all the wonderful things of your body and your hands and bones and structure and the 12 systems of your body that work, all of those are awesome. Let alone everything else. The flowers, awesome. The bugs, awesome. But God. The God, that's what we're supposed to know, the God that does all this. No one, humans can't do it. There's no way on earth. There's no way they could do it. Even though they have artificial intelligence and robots and all of that, they're all limited. When did you see the last robot worshiping and enjoying God? You won't. They can't. They're only robots. Artificial intelligence on the phone. I think it's artificial, it sounds like it. They talk to you and tell you everything. I said, I'll understand. You say it, I'll understand it. I said, well, now tell me about yourself. And they don't want to talk to me. Where are you? Where are you located? And what is it? Well, you don't want to talk to me. No, because you aren't there, you see. I like humans. Now, if you would, 2 Corinthians. I know you know these things. I'm just batting them back to you again to have them. Otherwise, you're missing out on all the benefits. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, may I go directly to verse 6 to help us. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. That's what he did. Brought light. He's the light of the world. And when I received him as my Savior, he took and brought light into my darkness. How did he bring light into my darkness? Because he's the light of the world. To give the light of the knowledge, what's light for? You can't see, remember, you know, all these things, physics and that. You can't see if it's dark. You couldn't see anything. You only can see because of light. And light takes all the colors, black, blue, green, makes everything different. Light. Without light, it's all dark. You know that. That's the law. Law of physics. It requires light. God is light. God brings light so that we can see and understand. That's what he does for us in a most wonderful way. Now, therefore, in verse 6, shined out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 17, what are you praying, Lord? I'm praying for the glory, the wonderful, wonderful grandeur. I've been a perfect human for 3 1/3 years, as it were, publicly. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to end. I did all of that to show the wonderful purpose of Genesis 1:26, 27, 28, that God created humans to enjoy his wonderful person and to enjoy his wonderful creation that is there, birds, beasts, and everything else, to enjoy it. That's what God did in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I'm receiving God's solution to my sin, sorrow, and suffering. I'm receiving God's wonderful, wonderful grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we share together all of those things, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, without doing it, but just driving it home, I hope. Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. What's it? We just read verse 6, glory. What did you receive Christ for? To get the glory, what do you mean, the glory of God? All the wonderfulness of God. What's glory? Glory is that which you can see. The glory of the sun at the height of the day. You can't miss it. You can look away from it. You can close your eyes. But boy, you can't look up in the sky. There is that bright sun shining. It's glorious. It makes it get, you can't see, you have to pay attention to it. Pay attention to what you see. It's glorious. Pay attention to God. We're in his presence. I don't see him. Don't feel him. Don't smell him. Ah, but he is. And God has a wonderful plan for a purpose. To what? To know him. To know him. Now, in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore God, going to go. And if you're in, well, you don't do that. Now, keep in mind as you're doing this, maybe we better do it. Oh, back over to 1 Peter. It should be right where it was last time. First Peter, if I can, chapter 1, picking up, please, to remind yourself the opposite. If God is glorious, without God, we aren't animals, so we don't have instinct. We can't we just do things. We can do the wonderful things and enjoy the wonderful things, but we can't do it without God. How are you going to enjoy? Now, here's the flowers. You can smell them, hold them, and whatever. You can do all kinds of things with these flowers. And they're there. But a flower person, botanist and all that, that knows flowers. They know all those little petals. They know when they open up. They know when they go to sleep. They know everything. They know how they come together. They know how they all help each other. They know how they help certain bees and certain bugs, certain butterflies. They know all that. They know that. That's right. They do. But all I do is see the flowers. Jeanette has a flower on the table, and it's there, a flower, but it's a flower. That's a pretty flower, no question. Jeanette sees something in that flower I didn't see, but she sees that flower differently than I do, because it has to stay in the table, like it or not, right in the middle of the table. has to stay. It's a flower now. But a people that know flowers, the people that study them, it's a whole lifetime studying the flower. They write books about it. They write books about bugs and how they operate and how they think and how they feel and the every marvel. So God, I want to be able to enjoy the flowers, but I can't enjoy the flowers without the God who created them. And it's the creation of our bodies and flowers and everything that makes us appreciate, because there's no computer and there's no human ever on earth that can create and design like God does. And we're to know Him. The creation is to, we're made to enjoy the creation, which is His glory. And when we enjoy the creation, we enjoy the Creator. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? It's an awesome thing to enjoy the Creator. That's what being saved is. That's what we do in church. What are we doing? We're trying to think about God properly now. So therefore, having said that little bit in the light of that, 1 Peter chapter 1, we mentioned, verse 23. We're being born, the believer is born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What's the contrast? For all, verse 24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, there's your little word, the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 24. Our humanness is but flesh. And all of the humans, of all of the millions of humans, here they are. What did we know about them? They all died. Do you know what they look like? What happened to them? They all became dust, didn't they? The glory of man. Yay! Dust we are, and dust we become. Here comes man's pride, Matthew chapter 4. Satan's going to give Christ all the kingdoms of the world, which he's the boss of, God of this world. He's going to give them for the glory of them. Well, what's the glory? Egypt was glorious. You read the history of Egypt, and we get a little glimpse of the Nile and the Luxor and the pyramids and the sphinxes and everything. Wow! That's all dust. And they just sit there, don't they? That's all. Egypt, Rome, America, all of it just disappears. It isn't. The glory of the kingdom, it's only there for a while. The glory of the something you make, some wonderful thing you invent. It's only glorious for a little while. And then it's all gone. No matter what. All the glory of man disappears. I have made it possible for you to know the Creator so that you can enjoy His wonderful person, His wonderful creation, His wonderful future in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, so therefore all flesh has become as grass. And so therefore, as believer, if you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you become a child of God, a son of God, and you exercise your relationship as a child of God, as a son of God, and you do so. And you exercise that relationship in a most wonderful way. So you're going to exercise God's wonderful word, and you're going to show it and enjoy it. And so, I do it again, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again. 2 Corinthians 1 again, if I may. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, 20 directly in the light of everything. Verse 20 in the light of the context. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. for all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, so be it. All of them are for what? In the direction of, and for the fulfillment of, and the enjoyment of the glory of God by us. So we are to enjoy the Word, John 1:14, that's God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. We enjoy him who has all the words. That's where we got the Bible. His words about his wonderful person and purpose and plan. And we have them. So therefore, we're to enjoy God and the glory of God. And all of those things are to outwork themselves in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're to enjoy them. That's what we're to do. I don't know. We know a little bit about the Bible. We can turn and read a couple of things and understand a couple of things a little bit. Well, it's immense. The 66 books would take you 10 lifetimes to understand. If you work at it, 10 lifetimes. Well, and we don't know, but God knows, and we understand. We understand enough to understand and enjoy not understanding. Does that come out all right? We enjoy not understanding. We enjoy not knowing. God knows. God understands. God does. That's what makes it so wonderful. We aren't trusting ourselves. We're trusting God. That's what it's for. The glory of God. His wonderful, wonderful purpose. Now, and while you're doing that and thinking of that, so what are we going to do, God? Well, we're going to exercise our wonderful relationship to you in a most wonderful way. Over to 1 Corinthians. So you're going to say, how am I going to do that? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you recall, may I go directly in the light of everything, verse 31, 10:31. In the light of our relationship to the world, whether therefore, verse 31, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do whatever you're doing to the what? To the glory of God. That's what you do. So you want to know. God made, had you have a wonderful relationship with God. As a child of God, as a son of God, be a child, be a son, enjoy being a child and son, and eat and drink and go to work and go to school and sweat and bleed and do whatever you have to do. And go do it to the glory of God. You're a child of God if you're saved. Enjoy God. Enjoy it. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. That's what we do. So we're honoring God. So the difference when they look at the unsaved world, doesn't bother with God. But you and I are boldly, like in Hebrews Sunday school, boldly to the throne of grace. We're enjoying God's wonderful person. That's what we're doing. We're trusting God in a most wonderful way. And that's what we need to do. Enjoy God. So that's what we're doing. That's what church is for, to help you understand. An exercise as a body to show the world. Why are you in? Why did you go to church today? You see, et cetera. Why did you sit so long, et cetera? Now, so therefore, God, you're going to show yourself in whatever we do. We're going to do it to your honor and glory. Over to John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, just think, whatever we do, you want to know how to enjoy God, that's what you're doing. So you don't make it complicated. Don't make it way out. You want to enjoy God. He didn't ask you to, we shared all these things on Wednesday and that. Don't get tied up, you know, with your old nature, trying to figure out how to be a little more dedicated, a little more serious, or whatever. Because you'll be doing that for 10 years, and you never get there. So you have to go, and thank God he crucified, died, stopped. He said, I'm not going to bother. So God, I got to tell you about my problem. God said, why don't you just listen to me and enjoy being saved? How's that? Enjoy being saved. I got to tell you about my problem. God said, I know all about your problem. That's why I died. Understand? That's why I died. Because you're thinking just like you are. So you don't need to explain to me how you're needing. or how you're hurt. What you need to do is thank me and look to me and trust me to enjoy the health that I have, to move into your body and enjoy it in a most wonderful way. Because you're to enjoy God's what? His glory. God created you for his glory and honor. That's what the disciples, they don't, on the day of Pentecost, their whole life changed. When you got saved, your life changed. It should have. But trouble is, it doesn't. John chapter 14. So may I pick up, please? Oh, I'm going to read in verse 12, wonderful. Very, very, verily, 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 amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, believers, and greater works shall these do, more in number, shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, so we're going to go, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. You got that? And they're going to do. That's why you're doing. We're going to do more. You're going to do more than I did. I ate, and you're going to eat. 1,000 of you eat. 1,000 people eat, showing the what? The glory of God. I ate, one person. You eat, show the glory of God. We're showing the glory of God. And as you drink, whatever you do, you're honoring God, looking to God, and honoring your relationship to him to honor God and his glorious person. He's made everything. He does everything. He is our everything. He's our, we don't have instinct. We have God. Now, so chapter 14, verse 13. So whatsoever you shall ask in my name, ask, that will I do, that the Father may be, what? Glorified in the Son. Why are we asking God's, what do we want God's will for? We're looking for God's will, and you know that from 1 John 5, 14, 15. What are we supposed to be doing? We're asking for God to outwork the day at home, work, school, easy, hard, much, little. You're going to look for God to outwork, and you're going to go with your lunch is, whatever you have, and you're going to go, and that's what you do. That's what you're doing. And you're doing as a child of God, thanking God, looking to God, and that's what you're doing. You're a human recognizing God, the Creator, amidst humans that don't recognize him. That's what you're doing. Here's 10 humans, nothing to do with God. Here's a human, this one does. And the angels know the difference, the good guys and the bad guys. They know the difference. They say, what are we doing? And people will start knowing the difference. They know the difference between this person and that person. It starts showing up, should show up somewhere, somehow. Chapter 14, whatever you ask in my name, my Father may be glorified. Isn't that good? We're asking what the will of God? For what? The glory of God. Chapter 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And what's the purpose? Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so be ye my disciples. Wow. God, you want us to bear much, think of what we do Wednesday, Sunday night, tonight, with that, fruit, produce, wow. All of it glorifies God. So as I thank God for his grace and his mercy and his love and his wonderful plan and his all that he's doing, all that he's done, all that he's not going to do, wow. And as I thank him, the world, that's your joy. And it glorifies God. I'm looking to God to deal with my head, to deal with my heart. And bad things can happen. John chapter 11. Abiding, we need to be abiding, and God's glorified as the branch. The branch, and I do that with the tree. I wanted to get the tree. That's a branch. Remember Sunday night with the apple and everything? That's a branch. Now the branch is just a branch. But if the branch stays attached to the tree, it doesn't care about bugs, weather, anything. It just blows in the wind. That's what it does. That glorifies the fruit, glorifies God. They're abiding. What are you doing? You'll be glorifying God by abiding. Wow, because the branch is going to show its relationship to the tree. That's what it's going to do. And it will become leaves pretty soon and whatever. That's what it's going to do because it abides. Ask, abide, etc. Now, therefore, chapter 11, add to it. Chapter 11, verse 4. This is Lazarus now. And when Jesus heard that he said Lazarus was sick, chapter 11, verse 4 of John, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be, what? Glorified thereby. God wants to demonstrate his wonderful work. So Lazarus, if you just come, they want him to cross the Jordan, come over and heal him, Lazarus, which he could have done. But he didn't. He waited for what? He waited for Lazarus to make sure he's dead, as we shared together. Make sure he's dead. And then you slide over. Why did you do this? For the glory of God. Why did all those people, why are we like this? Because God says if you would just turn to me, you would discover a wonderful thing I'm doing in you that I don't do somewhere else. God, Psalm 25, God will teach in the way that he will choose those that fear him. So you got to have a fear of God. And of different sizes, different shapes, different genetics, different pain, different headaches, different problems. Look at them, all over the place. And God, you know it, absolutely. That's what we're going to do. We look to God. To outwork what? Not their lives, Philippians 2:12. Work out your own, underline, your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now God's going to do it. So therefore, chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said unto her, to Martha, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. I told you, Lazarus had to die. Why do you have to die? Because I'm going to show something. I'm going to do something with that person. He's going to die. Not everyone. Everyone's going to die. That's right. But this person's going to die, and I'm going to go and pull him out of the tomb and give him life. That's what I do. You'll never hear about Lazarus anymore, even though he's going to die, of course, somewhere. But you don't hear about him. He served the purpose. He fulfilled God's wonderful plan, and he was blessed the rest of his life, I'm sure. Now, so having said that, God, over to Ephesians and chapter 2. Remember we said the painter and all of that. Ephesians and chapter 2. And you will note, please, chapter 2, wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's just pick off a little of it. Verse 10, you know it. For we, I'll read verse 9, not of works were saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the grace of God. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created before the foundation of the world. God had a wonderful, that's why you were born, as we've shared. That's why you're born, because God died on the cross for you before you ever existed, so that you could be saved, if you'd be saved. You don't have to be, but you could be if you want to be. Therefore, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God, we're your workmanship. That's right. We walk by faith. We walk by means of faith, not by sight. Now, when it says you'll walk by means of faith, not by sight, it doesn't mean you sit still. It means you're moving. You're mentally moving, spiritually, physically moving. So when it says walk by faith, I'm walking in my relationship to God, going to walk by faith, thanking God. He's my Savior. He's in my heart, your heart. If you're saved, for his glory and honor, that's what he's going to do. And God's going to be my God, my Father, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going down the corridor of time, that's what I'm going to do, going down. And so we're his workmanship. Remember the painter? It isn't the painting, it's the painter. It isn't the wonderfulness of your body and being able to do whatever. No, it's that you were created to enjoy God's wonderful person. That is what it's about. Now, having said that, Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 1, please, you will note, verse 17, that the God of our Father, the God of that the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, to know him. And to give you power not to know him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his wonderful calling and purpose, that and what the riches of the glory, there's your little word, of his inheritance in the saint. What on earth did God get when he took your piece of dust and my piece of dust? What did he get? He got a vehicle to demonstrate his awesome person. That's what he got. It's nothing. Do it another way. If I had a light bulb, here's a light bulb, make believe, and I got a box of light bulbs. I put them in there. I put a big box in the basement, whatever. Okay. Now we got the light bulbs. Are they valuable? Well, sure, they are. They work. Assuming they work. But they're just light bulbs. And if there's no light in them, what good? Do you put a whole bunch of light bulbs on the kitchen table? To look at them when you eat? No, you don't do that. You don't use them. Light bulbs are meant to be put in and light, like the lights. That's what they're for. So God, what did you do? You made a wonderful, wonderful thing. You made us not to be sitting on the table like a light bulb. You made us to be plugged in to your awesome power, to your wonderful person. To what? To what are we going to do? The light bulb isn't going to be lit. What happens, the filament, etc., is going to heat up with all of that. And what's going to happen? It's going to give light. The light bulb isn't light. The light bulb allows light to exist. That's all it does. What's the branch do? It allows the fruit to exist. That's what it does. That's what it's for. So that we can understand and enjoy God's wonderful person. So therefore, we ought to be, to the end of verse 18, to the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and God's wonderful, wonderful glory. And so you have all kinds of places. Let me do one more anyway. On our way, look at verse 12, if you're right there in chapter 1. That we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ. That's the whole purpose, to enjoy God. What's so hard about that? It isn't complicated. And it isn't to give you some super Samson power or something, though God could do that. That isn't what it's about. It's about enjoying Him. You know, what do you go to church for? I go to church to fulfill whatever. Go do it. Go to it. That's what it's about. You know, why do we go to church? Well, I'll sit there because I owe God. No, you don't owe God. You want God to develop your life in the most wonderful way. Therefore, in closing, over to Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to give you two things that will help, I hope. Now, first thing, go to chapter 5 first. Chapter 5. And in the process, now, remember we shared all these things in the last time or two on this glory, on our glory. And God in you, all the wonderful things that God's doing is to what? To bring out of your life, to put into your life his wonderful glory. Remember? All the suffering we go through. For what? We're doing it here. We struggle with learning like we did with the animal, with dopey or whatever. And we did it, to be up here, to be able to enjoy. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, having said that, verse chapter 5, Ephesians, may I go, please, to verse 26, that God in the church, the believing heart, that he might sanctify, set apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Purpose. That he may present it to himself. How is God going to present the church body I'm going to make it personal, because it is. How is God going to present each believer? Glorious. That's what he's going to do. I want you to see my glory. That's what he's going to say later. I want you to see it. You don't understand what you lost out on. You could have been enjoying my wonderful person, but you didn't do it. I want you to be there so you can see all that you have and all that you could have had now, as it were. So chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So God, you're going to present it glorious. So in meanwhile, what are we doing? God, chapter 3 and verse 20, now unto him that is able, 3 and 20, now unto him that is able to do again, whatever you do in word or deed, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So it's out of our reach, out of our touch, out of our ability. We can't think, we can't get it. Nope, all we can do is enjoy it. To ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God, that's what we're looking for. Your wonderful, wonderful working. To our work, that's what we're looking for. So God, we're going to go. So it isn't going to get complicated. The world's getting complicated. Our country's getting complicated. And it's going to get more complicated and more difficult. But the more difficult it gets, the more wonderfully you're simply going to rest. Like the branch in the storm until he takes you. That's what you're going to do. And you're learning to do that, I hope. Some of you, handful, maybe, to see it. Because that's the only way you're going to make it. When it gets, and now if you're young enough, you can say everything is like it's all the socialism, communism, and all the other junk that's coming and doing up there. Wow. Well, that's normal. No, but if you've lived a couple of years, you know it's going to be different. That's right. Wow. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. Father, it's just us. That's all. And we get all caught up in our thinking, our thoughts about eternal things. We can't even understand them in the first place. And we try to understand, and we think we're thinking down below in our little world. We think we control, and we don't control anything. We aren't even seeing the realities that are around us. And therefore, we miss your wonderful person and presence because we're down below, as it were, trying to live our little lives, and we miss yours that you've given us to know you and honor you. So God, deal with us, those who know you not as Lord and Savior. Convince them of sin and righteousness and judgment, that they might be saved. And God, that we would honor you the more and the better, with much, much better understanding. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.